the Tune In Talk podcast, episode 9, interviews with the producers and cast of American Dad. Hello and welcome to the Tune In Talk podcast, your rendezvous for animation interviews. I am your host, Whitney Grace, and I am delighted that you decided to download and listen to today's episode. For episode 9, I was invited back in October 2014 at the New York Comic Con to attend a roundtable interview session with the cast and producers of American Dad. It was a thrilling experience because within 20 minutes, I was able to talk to some of the best voice actors in the business, as well as two fun and kooky producers. I was thunderstruck at the beginning of this roundtable interview session because of just so many people around me were people I admired. But I was able to get into the groove of things and ask some really cool questions and get some really funny stories from the voice actors and producers. For today's guest, it's a multi-person interview, so I will tell you who they are in the order of appearance. First, we have an interview with Dee Bradley Baker, who is the voice of Klaus, the Nazi fish, on the show. And then we also have Rachel McFarlane, who is the sister of the series creator Seth MacFarlane, but she provides her lovely voice for the daughter in the show, Haley Smith. And then in the next interview, I am speaking with two wonderful producers, Matt Weitzman and Brian Boyle, who they just made me laugh and smile throughout the whole time. And then I finish up with Scott Grimes, who is the voice of Steve Smith, and he provided some lovely sound effects. And then I got to talk to Wendy Shaw, who provides the voice of Francine. And she was, if anything, but just a classy
lady.
And hilarious as well. American Dad is a show that premiered back in 2005 as the second animated series created by Seth MacFarlane, who was also known for the award-winning comedy and animated series Family Guy, where he does the voice of Peter Griffin as well as Brian the Dog, and also the comedy Ted, about a bear toy who grows up and has to deal with the adult world, to which he also voices the title character. On American Dad, Seth also provides the voice of the dad, Stan Smith, and he is also a very talented guy outside of animation. He's a fantastic singer, when it's just one of the aspects of his career that I enjoy most. I'll post some links into the show notes to some of his music, and you should really take a listen. But when I was at the roundtable session at the New York Comic Con, one of the reasons why they were holding this press junket was because the series had officially moved over to TBS. And one of the things all of the actors were saying that they loved the most about moving over to TBS was they were given more creative freedom and a lot more room to grow the show. At the time of this interview, they were actually in the middle of starting to record the second season on TBS. And you can just hear the enthusiasm and all their voices for this transition. And it was a fantastic experience, and I am so thankful that I was able. So for today's episode, I will be presenting these interviews in the order that I record them at the roundtable. And so the first one starts with Dee Bradley Baker and Rachel McFarlane. Then it segues into the interview with the producers, Matt Weitzman and Brian Boyle. And then we round everything out with Scott Grimes and Wendy Shaw. Before we head into the interviews, I have a little bit of housekeeping. There isn't a lot this week because I'm excruciatingly busy juggling several projects. But the good news is I finished chapter 3 of my book. Yay, on to chapter 4. But I have also been pounding the pavement to get some really fantastic guests on the show. And I'm really excited. I'm not going to say anything until the interviews are complete, but I think you will enjoy them. I'm also working on getting my schedule a bit more organized so I can continue to update the contents on the site regularly at tunatalk.com as well as Fanboy Nation, and then a few columns that I have going on over at Tough Pigs and the Rotoscopers. So I'll update you on those as my schedule becomes more streamlined. So Without further ado now, here are the American Dad interviews.
Good morning, USA. I got a feeling that it's gonna be a wonderful day. The sun in the sky has a smile on his face, and he's shining a salute to the American race. Oh boy, it's swell to say, good morning, USA.
I have to harken back to about 5 years ago when I actually did work with Seth, because he doesn't really have much to do with American Dad anymore besides the voices. But, you know, Seth and I have been doing, we've been performing together in some way since we were, you know, 5 and 7. So it sort of just felt like a natural extension of that. He was the one that, you know, I was doing musical theater here in New York, and he was the one that said, you know, I think you should try voiceover. I think you'd be good at it. And I love working with him. He's probably the most talented director I've ever worked with. He knows exactly what he wants, and he knows when he gets it, so he doesn't waste time doing 10 takes, you know, done, moving on.
He's not like Stanley Kubrick, where he does like 50 takes.
He's not.
Okay, good.
No.
All right.
Actually, I've heard that it's a little different in his theatrical work. But in animation, he's brilliant, really.
My favorite episode last year was Krampus, and that how you had Danny Glover guest star. Are we going to have something similar? Like,
that was a good episode.
It was awesome.
It really was.
Was that the Christmas episode?
Yeah, it was the Christmas episode. Oh. That was such good episode.
The places they go for Christmas every year.
I know. Minstrel Krampus.
Yeah. So are we going to have any musical episodes coming up, or any awesome holiday episodes or guest stars
this year?
I'm trying to remember.
We do have one.
Oh yeah, there always is.
I know.
See, our problem is it's been a year since we've recorded the episodes, and we haven't seen them, so we don't know.
But I remember there's a really good Christmas episode, and we were talking about it on the drive over here, and now I'm having a brain fart, so it's going to be good.
All right, I will write down really good
McFarland brain fart. Good episode, yeah.
And people Google and say there's many of those. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, both of you have experience doing live action and mostly known, well, you know, just theater.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Theater, it translates well.
Yes,
what do you guys like being about voice actors that you don't get to do in live action?
Oh, gosh.
How much time do we have?
Yeah, I know. Honestly, for me, I mean, I was going to say in a given day, in a given show, I will play a 2-year-old and a 90-year-old. You know, obviously I can't do that in live action. I mean, the range that we get to explore as voice actors it's so much fun. Truly. I mean, I can be British, I can be German, I can be French, all in a day. And the freedom, I think, in voiceover. And the fact that, you know, this career can just go on and on and on. It's not limited by age. I love it, honestly. There really isn't much else I would.
It's great. It's quick. It's air conditioned, and you don't have to memorize your lines.
Yeah. Right, there you go. That's it.
You don't have to sit in a trailer all day. There's like you're saying, you can have a career that lasts for decades, and have a great variety of things you get to do. On camera, it's really hard not to end up just doing one thing. And then trying to break out of that to get some variety, that's not an easy thing to do. It takes a lot of focus and a good team of people to break away from what's expected of you doing only what works. That's we don't have that in voice acting. And so it's also easy, you know, to spend more time with your family.
Yeah.
You're not on the set all day, you're not in the trailer all day, you can go home. You can do a few gigs and still spend time at home and do the dishes and, you know, help clean up the kitchen or whatever.
No, and you know what, too? I have to say this. When I first left theater and started doing voiceover, one of the things that drew me to it, not only was that, I get a lot of time with my family, but the people are really kind of normal and nice. And it feels, you're always working with good people and people that you like.
That has air quotes around it, right? Especially if this guy.
What?
What you can do with your voice? I mean, I saw.
Oh, that's not normal. No, but generally.
I'm pretty boring person, really, when it comes down to it, and I like it that way. I think really because we do weird things. We're people, actors that do weird things sometimes. But like you're saying, there's a normalcy to it.
Yeah, these people are married. they have kids, they have lives. It's not, you know.
And frankly, the money doesn't get insane like it does on camera, which I think enables you to become a kook. And once you're a kook, and there's nobody to say no to you, then you become this monster or a crazy person or whatever. And so for a voice actor, you're a little more down to earth, you know, and the restraining bolt has not been removed from the R2 unit. You're still going to stay around at home.
This is why I say no to my brother as much as possible. Just trying to keep him grounded.
Yeah.
Just trying to keep him alive.
Are there any plans for American Dad movie?
Ooh, an American Dad movie? That sounds like a great idea, but that's got to be a Mike question. I don't know anything.
Or a Matt question.
Yeah.
I think it's way down the line. I think it'll be Family Guy first, and then American Dad. That's my guess. But I mean, yeah, the show has been on now for almost a decade. I think once you reach that point with your show, I think that a feature is sort of the logical extension of that once the show starts to, you know, wrap up.
That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Although they did have that Family Guy movie theater screening release, one of the premiere episodes.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I don't even remember that.
It's like a year or 2 years ago.
Really?
So, yeah.
Movie? Really?
How do you two want to see your characters change, or if you could write a plot with involving your characters in the show, what would you want to do?
I'd like to see a plot where Klaus and Roger try to set up a fish stick factory that sells fish sticks.
Yeah, I think Klaus would sell fish sticks.
Yes, of course he would.
Yeah, he would.
He could call his little friends in, and you could set up this whole arrangement to
little Sweeney Todd
a processing facility.
Yeah.
Yes, Sweeney Todd. There we go. Right. We can make it a musical.
I know. There you go.
Totally. Or you could take it too far. But maybe we can on TBS now.
I know, right? TBS is giving us.
They're letting us
freedom.
Go a little further.
Yep.
They've loosened the leash on the show.
Will there be any difference from, like, when you end on Fox to when you leap over to TBS? Are you resetting the show, or what will kind of set it apart?
You know, I think what's really nice about that is, you know, we've ended on Fox, and now we're actually halfway through our second season for TBS in recording. And what we've seen over the last year or so is the show is tonally the same. It still feels, fans will tune in and they will see the same American Dad that they love. It's just edgier. I mean, we just have more freedom. It's why people watch, you know, the DVD extras, and like, we can swear on the DVDs. Well, this is stuff you're going to be seeing actually on television.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it really allows American Dad to be the show that it kind of always wanted to be.
It's the same great show, but more.
Yeah.
More so, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The TBS is very supportive and very enthusiastic about having the show there.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like they want to control it or contain it. They want to unleash it and let it be what it is. And so it's felt a great continuity with what we've already established, and I think fans will find that and they'll love it.
I can't remember, but have you done an episode where Paley becomes ultra-conservative? Paley becomes like a Paley kid. That's what I meant to say.
We kind of did.
Palin kid.
No, I think, if I remember, what the storyline was is that she had a chip that Stan had put in her brain.
Yeah.
And there was a trigger word, and he said it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she becomes sort of this, it was like a sleeper cell agent.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't remember that. They
I feel like we
that.
Did.
Like okay.
Yes,
you did.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's
I had a great fun.
With all the different little roles you might get assigned to, do they know all the different voices you're capable of, or do they ever just assign things to you and you're like, I have to do this?
Yeah, actually, we had an episode recently where I was playing a French maid, and it was fine, and I did it at the table, and they were like, okay, we want to have you record it. And then Weitzman said, she's too young. You know, I was playing her about 50. You know, she needs to be about 85. And I was like, ooh, old French. And I just couldn't get it. There was something about the placement where it was either going to be youngish French or old lady, but there was never the Twain show. I couldn't do it. And it was really, really challenging. And I literally had to say, I was like, sorry, I think you found the thing. I can't do old French. Just let it be known, I can't do old French.
But they'll have us read various characters in the table read. They'll throw that to the writers as well as us, and they'll give us maybe three or four or five different roles to take a swing at. And sometimes they keep us in that character and let us read it. Sometimes they already have it teed up for a celebrity to read. Sometimes they don't know yet. And so that's sort of a little testing ground for them to see, oh, they can. This actor can do like a little kid, or this actor could do like a muscle man from Bavaria, or, you know, whatever. I mean, so yeah, it's there's good opportunity for that for us in the show, too. It's a lot of fun.
What would be your favorite animated shows outside of American Dad that really sparks interest with you?
Oh, mine is so incredibly lame. I have a four-year-old, so, I'm sure you guys probably don't even know the show. It's called Peppa Pig.
Aww.
It's a British animated show. Has anybody ever seen this? It is so hilariously dry, and, I mean, my daughter watches it, and she's getting all the, you know, the sort of, you know, outward jokes, and my husband and I are just cracking up, because it's like they just snuck some things in for the parents so that it's not, like, torturous to watch it. It's a really cute show. I love Peppa. Have you ever seen Peppa?
No.
Oh, it's so good.
No, I haven't.
It's adorable.
I'll check it out.
It's on Nick.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll check it out. And also on Nick, I love the Avatar series.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Are you watching Legend of Korra right now?
I'm not caught up to where we're at right now. I made it through the first book of Korra. It's a show that I'm on, too, but I don't love it because of that. I love it because of the writing and the animation and all. I think it's really standout. Fantastic.
I'll be
warned.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Herzlichen Dank. Auf Wiedersehen. Tschüss.
Vielen Dank.
Bitte sehr.
I mean, honestly, if you had told me at the very beginning that it was going to last 5 years, I would have been... Yes.
That's five times longer than any other show I've been on.
Yes, exactly. And mine too. I've never been on a show that lasted, you know, more than a season and a half. And for it to be my show, our show, to make it 10 years, God, how lucky. You know, I mean, really, it's been an amazing experience to be on a show where you love the people that you work with, you love the product that you're creating, and you love the process that you're doing it with. What more can I ask for?
A lot of people compare American Dad to a Family Guy ripoff. What do you think has set it apart over the years from being a Family Guy ripoff?
I'm not really familiar with Family Guy's work. but you worked on
Family Guy.
If there is a similarity, it's probably your fault.
I don't know if... I think that people at this point... Yes, that is probably true. I think at this point that anybody who has any awareness knows how different the show is. In the beginning, there was definitely that comparison. But as time has gone on, I think that we've really, you know, separated.
And some people say ripoff as a bad thing. But, I mean, there's a lot of good ripoffs, right?
There's a lot of quality ripoffs. Yeah. But I don't think that... But obviously, they have cutaways and flashbacks and all those kinds of things that we never have done.
And we only have flashbacks.
We barely have a flashback. We'll
once in a
do
while.
It.
Once an episode.
Right. No way.
Oh, no, not quite.
Are you helping?
I don't know. I'm not hurting.
Okay.
Do no harm, right? That's a Hippocratic oath or something?
Is that what it is?
Yeah. We're doctors.
No, we are doctors. Doctors of comedy.
Thank you for making that part clear.
So, what separated us? I think that our devotion to
time
the characters.
Connection. Time.
Time.
We're on later or earlier sometimes.
Oh, wait.
We were on at 7. Sometimes we're on at 9:30.
Yep. But no, we moved.
Family
got moved
Guy
around.
Kind of stayed got where it was. Right?
Yeah, Family Guy has always been there.
Anchoring.
And they've tried to replace us with many shows and have failed. And they even tried to get us off their network. And
They did not succeed
to kill the show.
Yeah.
As far as separation, I think that our devotion to characters and story more than the cutaway jokes that, you know, are awesome, you know, in short attention span theater that our world has become, but I think that it's
our
a little bit
a
more
heavier.
A little heavier, yeah. Deeper, yeah, more, you know, more clever. No, not clever. No. That's not the word. Let's think about this for a while.
There's
more evolved.
evolved. That's not really the word either. Can you all come back with a word at the end
unique?
Of this?
Yes.
Unique. Yes, thank you. No, go for it.
Are any plans to kill off any major characters?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Kill them off.
Well,
I know we get one back. We can't say who.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not. Yeah, we have bringing back a character, but I'm not going to say who.
No.
Even though you probably all know. As far as killing off characters,
we only did that the 100th episode. Yeah. When the bus went over the.
Yeah, which is awesome because, I mean, we've already gotten picked up for our second season with TBS, and which means that we get 15 episodes per season with TBS because they do a much shorter stretch. But the second season will bring us to 205 episodes, so we'll have a 200th episode, which is kind of hopefully a pretty big event and crazy and fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. With that change in network, is there anything, can you get away with more on TBS?
Well, there's a phrase that I've been using.
He has
using.
A quote.
Yeah, basically.
To quote himself.
Right, to quote myself, we now get to say Tushin a douchebag per episode, so.
So imagine the freedom. Think of the artistic freedom we have.
Exactly. It's really, we've really been able to take advantage on a creative level.
Yeah, because sometimes you do say shit, you know.
In life.
It just makes it feel so much realer. Yeah. When you're watching the cartoon.
Well, that's true. But you also, I mean, you get to say that. I mean, language, you know, the material is mostly going to stay the same. I mean, we've always been a pretty edgy show, and we've gotten away with some things that some people would
for some reason, at. I think in every in every standards notes that we've gotten this year, it always reminds you that we shouldn't see any pubic hair.
Right.
So that's still something.
That's the line.
We actually did show pubic hair on Fox in the one episode.
A single pubic hair.
A single pubic hair that floated like a feather. And like,
right.
You've seen the movie.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump, right?
Yeah, exactly. That was with 1,600 candles. Anything else we get away with? I mean, the subject matter is pretty much the same. They let us show butts, which we didn't get away with on
Fox.
Butt
cracks even?
I think butt cracks even, yeah. Wow. Uh-huh. So, really, we're...
So you can see the world that opens up.
It's just such a winning scenario that we can't... we're so grateful.
With the window open, can you give us some examples of how you're going to push the envelope this season?
Well...
Without giving away too much.
We have an episode, even though we can't say that, we have an episode where Steve says you to his mom for the first time ever.
That becomes a problem.
Yeah. So that's a relatable story.
Yep.
It started out as a story about Steve saying F you to his dad, but apparently everybody in the room felt that they had more experiences saying that to their mom.
Yeah, that was weird.
So we had, that was a surprise to
me. That was true for me.
Pushing the other, I don't know about other examples of pushing it.
I don't feel like I'm pushing the envelope.
Right. The following, I can't talk about it.
I'm not trying to be.
Right. We're not trying to, like, push stuff. We just kind of come up with stuff that we think is funny.
Are there any storylines that you presented to Fox that got rejected?
You mean to TBS? No.
Or to Fox that you can now use for TBS.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
No,
The only thing that ever in years was the spanking episode. And that was, I think, the studio didn't want us to do it.
Oh, that's right. I totally spaced on that.
We haven't brought it back, so maybe we can do that. Who knows?
Yeah.
Spanking, you know.
Yeah, spanking. I guess.
We turned it into the missing kink, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Yeah, where Spank was like getting. So,
sorry, just going down memory lane.
No, I mean, apparently, you know, nobody, everybody is just as crass as we are. So they're just willing to say yes to, you know, whatever we want. And, you know, I think that TBS is looking for an edgy show, and we already were that. And they're just kind of saying, yes, do what you do, which we're so happy about and grateful for and lucky.
Plus, now we're bringing the feelings again.
We are. Yeah. We are emphasizing feelings.
We're going for fourth season.
In TBS equals feelings.
Simpsons.
Yeah.
Model.
Right. Simpsons. And while saying, well, twice as episode.
Yeah. We get that.
But it's been fun.
Act breaks.
TBS has been awesome. Yes, we have dramatic act breaks. I mean, a little bit of difference is that the format of TBS is that we used to do at least three acts, and we still do three acts, but now TBS kind of runs one show right into the other, so we have to do three commercials in the middle of the show, which is a little bit more of a challenge, storytelling, in a storytelling sense, but I think that once people get used to it, it'll be cool.
Did we see Sinbad return?
Sinbad will be back.
The ghost of Sinbad.
The ghost of Sinbad. Yeah.
If we could just get the real Sinbad.
If we could just get the real Sinbad into
on the show,
because he is elusive.
He is elusive.
Yes.
Yeah.
What other special voice actors as guests are you going to?
He can feel this.
Tell.
We have Uma Thurman playing Gwen, who is Francine's Chinese sister, half sister, I guess. Real sister of her
by adoption.
Francine's adopted. She's adopted. Francine's adopted. So the parents' real daughter or
birth daughter.
So it's her biological parents' daughter.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's her sister.
Still her sister. Yeah.
Biological sister.
But not biological. No.
The one who's bad at math.
Francine.
Right. The one who's bad at math. Exactly.
And her parents are Chinese.
Yeah.
Who else? I think we have Ted Danson playing Shrink in an episode where...
That's a good one.
It is a good one. Where Stan has a near-death experience and feels very out of control in life. In order to regain that control, he ends up buying these little miniatures and like railroads and ends up shrinking himself down and putting himself into that world, and the family goes with him.
Very controllable world.
Yeah, everything he can control.
Until it's not.
Yeah. Who else we have?
By the way, the beginning was based on a World War II story my dad told me.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Him getting in the cab.
Really?
It was like a story. Well, okay, so Stan in the beginning, he goes to get a cab, and this young couple comes up and says, excuse me, we're in a great hurry, maybe use your cab. And Stan says, okay, please, I'm not in a big hurry. They pull out, Stan gets in the next cab, and the sign comes over and crushes the cab in front of him. But he just gave up, right? So that's why he freaks out.
Wait, that really happened? I mean,
That happened to my dad, but it wasn't a sign falling over. Okay. It was like doing the Blitz of London, and a bomb landed on the taxi in front and blew it up. And then my dad said he felt something burning on his leg, and he looked, and a piece of shrapnel had come in the top of his cab and stuck in the side of it. Yeah, it's like hot.
Yeah.
So we explore that and
continue with it. Who else do we have on? We have Kristen Chenoweth.
Got all these, famouses.
We got some famouses. Carl Reiner, Mickey Rooney's last role.
Second last. I think he recorded one other thing.
He may have done a movie, but virtually his last role, and he was 92, so we've killed a number of actors.
You must be so proud.
Yes, yeah. Wendy Jo Sperber was her last role. Ricardo Montalban.
Really?
His last show that he did was American Dad. Yeah, no.
So there's American Dad curse going on.
I hope not.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, while you're around for
that's my
10 years,
American Dad curse.
It's fine.
Cursed to do 20 seasons.
I mean, there was a bunch of it. I think that was about it. I mean, we have some, and we have more coming for the next year, but I'm going to hold off on
Far ahead that it's hard to remember.
Yeah, it's like, because we do...
We're over a year ahead.
Producing next season and this season at the same time, and so it's kind of all gets a little bit jumbled in your head.
Solo Roger episodes?
Oh, God. Solo Roger episode.
I'm only thinking of this season. I can't think
of
that.
No. Where Roger. Well, we have a Wheels and the Leg Man episode.
Yes. Yeah.
We have. let me just grab my little cheat sheet. If you guys don't mind.
The family goes to Manhattan.
Oh, bye. Kathy Bates also. Roger. No, apparently we're not using Roger this season.
Oh, that's dope.
No. Apparently, that's not too many Roger alone episodes that I see.
We try not to make any episode really alone. We very rarely make it an alone episode. It's always somebody and somebody else.
How many new personas do we have in this season?
Oh, jeez.
In the season that we're going to record,
uh-huh.
Well,
you want to tell? You tell. We have episodes. Yeah, Steve and Snot join a karate studio. Stan and the fellow agents get caught behind enemy lines and become POWs. Stan and Francine go to Hollywood, and Stan gets convinced that he is the reincarnated version of an old Hollywood actor. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of exploring a little bit of reincarnation. So the Wheeling Blackman. What else we have?
Roger keeps the kids in cages.
Yes, Roger does keep kids. Yes, keeps everybody in cages.
He does that. Haley
and Steve. Join a roller derby team together.
Right, where Roger is the night manager at the rink.
Right, exactly. Yeah, good, bring Roger in and all this.
We want to know what Roger's doing.
Right.
Wait, what was the first one you said?
I don't know. Haley goes blonde.
Roger, he's one of the, he tries to teach Steve karate.
Yes. At one point, American Dad is going to be bought by a Chinese billionaire, mm-hmm. and from Seth. And in that story, Stan has forgotten Francine's anniversary. Surprise, surprise! But to make it the best anniversary possible, and give him some time to make it the best anniversary possible, he goes and commits her to an insane asylum.
Yeah.
Under a 72-hour watch.
Cycle.
72-hour hold.
Yeah.
So he has 72 hours to forget to plan it again.
Right. It doesn't work out again.
Can I ask you guys?
Spoiler alert.
I'm going to ask you a question I asked Chris. He gave a fantastic answer. Let's see what you guys say. Do you guys have anything to declare? And you're not going through customs.
What
we're
talking about?
I'm not sure.
Just any sort of declaration you want to make.
Like a Declaration of Independence kind of, like a soapbox. This is our moment.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Well, it is pretty amazing to be able to like think up and put on pretty much anything we want on TV. Like that's what we've been given a chance to do.
Yeah.
And as we tell our writers, like, this is so rare that you can, like, we get very few notes because the studio network think we're doing it right. So we can really just have an idea and put it on TV, and that's crazy.
It's crazy.
I've never done that in 17 years until this show.
Yeah. No, I mean, to be able to do it for 10 years, I mean, what more could you ask for? I mean, and to be given another chance. I mean, when we were on Fox, I felt like, you know, I kind of made this analogy that when we were on Fox, it was like we had these parents that, you know, had to put up with us. And now we've kind of grown up, and we've moved out of the house, and now we've found our the one, and we're gonna go have like this marriage and live happily ever after on TBS. And you know, I've been divorced. He's been divorced. So I don't know if it's gonna work out necessarily, but it's definitely so far so good, and you know, we'll see what happens.
Roger was not an alien. What would he be?
If he was not an
alien?
Not
an alien. I guess he'd be...
Wow.
Probably be a human. Right? Right?
Yeah, I mean... I guess he could be an animal.
What animal would he be?
If Raj was an animal, I think he would be a duck. I think he would be a duck because I think he would be a duck because I think he's so adaptive. Ducks
like water
can fly
off, water
and
boat back.
Water. Everything rolls off his back.
Yes. But he's very sensitive, too.
Yeah?
So be a sensitive duck.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, guys, and, we're going to wrap with that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Last day on the stretch.
I'm ready for my close-up, Mr.
DeVille. Don't worry, I'm on it.
So what are you guys excited about the new season with TBS?
We are loving the attention and the energy that we're getting from TBS, and it's just making us want to come out and do our part and bring it, right?
Yeah, it's neat to be a part of a show that's been on so long, and now all of a sudden, it's a new show, I feel like. And for them to put so much money, because all this publicity, it's money. For them to believe in the show that much, it really feels good. For the producers and all the other people that have been working so hard, and it's just finally really cool. Not that, you know, Fox was great. There's a lot of shows on Fox. There's a lot of things that we we're after. We're after Family Guy, you know, and that's not easy. And now we're kind of on our own, and that could go good or bad. So,
could you call us a big fish? We're a big fish now.
We're a big fish in a, well, I don't know.
It's not a CBS smaller pond, no. Necessarily. But
we're all swimming together.
Yeah.
We're all skinny dipping. What? What
off topic. Off yep, topic.
Sorry.
What episodes are you really excited about to play on this season?
Oh,
Wendy?
Gosh.
the funny thing is we rare, we did them so long ago. We're doing a whole other season right now for TBS. So
Bill.
to get reminded, like, we have to be reminded of what we've done.
Can I just say, we are approaching 200 episodes. So, you know, I mean, the ones that we did at season 2 or 3, obviously, you know, those are long gone. But it is. It's a lot to keep track of because, you know, we're recording now for, like, a year from now. And to keep all these storylines in our head. I mean, there is one where Francine and Stan come to New York. And she gets kidnapped and, you know, goes on from there. So
yeah,
that's to look forward to.
As you would when you get
as you would,
right?
Yeah.
It's
right.
New York, yeah.
I think Haley goes blonde this year. Isn't that one of our...
Oh.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So...
I think Steve grows a second pubic hair.
Big news.
Does he get the Forrest Gump treatment?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
What else is going on with Steve?
Oh, man, you know, it's... I think we have a musical, don't we?
Oh.
We tend to do 2 musicals a year, and, you know, what's happened in my kind of entire career is I always go, you know, I've always done these shows that went for kind of a long time. And at one point, the writers just, of all these shows, go, okay, what are we going to write about? What, Scott, you can skateboard? Okay, we'll do a skate... In real life... But they found out, you know, these people on the show can sing.
He can sing.
So so now twice a year we have musical episodes. ER did the same thing where they're like, shit, we got nothing more to write about. Can you sing something? We'll do a whole thing where the doctors sing. Like, that's real. Okay. But it was, so we do, I do know we have another musical episode. And, you know, Steve's just in love with his mother in some weird way. And
are you a tenor or an alto or are you a soprano?
I guess I'm...
You are a soprano.
I guess I'm a soprano, yeah.
Well, I would be a tenor, I should say.
Yeah.
I'm not an alto.
I think it's funny that I sang with CeeLo Green. I mean, somebody took a look at me and said, you really need to sing with CeeLo Green.
That was cool.
I just saw Book of Mormon last night, and it was like, I was thinking, We Are Africa. It was like, white boys, white bread. Yeah, I sang with... Yeah.
But we were also just in the... in the green room, and Kevin Bacon was in there, which is awesome. And Kevin Bacon has never done American Dad, but we did an episode where Roger dresses up like Kevin Bacon. Looks just like him, by the way. Kevin Bacon's avatar on his Twitter is Roger as Kevin Bacon. So Matt had to go up to him and go like, dude, why is your avatar? He's like, I love the show, so... I think we got Kevin Bacon next season. That's what's great about the show is like people are attracted to making fun of themselves on it. Family Guy started that in a way, right?
Yeah.
But really, we really dedicate. We write episodes if a star wants to do it, and you know we make fun of them a little, and they make fun of themselves, and that's what's been really terrific about doing American Dad.
Yeah, we've got Uma Thurman coming up, this season. I don't know, was she herself though?
She was not. I think she was someone Steve was.
She was your character's sister.
Oh, that's right. Gwen.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
That's right. Thank you, thank you. Yep. See?
Keep
us straight.
So I've interviewed a lot of voice actors for my podcast, and I always ask them about funny stories that happen in group recording sessions. Would you guys be
willing
to share?
We don't do a lot of group recording sessions.
Yeah, we actually record alone. We don't have to look our best.
Did you guys lose the privilege?
We lost the privilege. Well, Seth MacFarlane just got really busy, and, you know, I think the first season, maybe we did a couple. But I got a hernia doing Steve.
What? Seriously? Was it the tennis noise?
Dude, I'll tell you this. The tennis noise, my kids make me do that.
I told her before, I gotta ask him to do it at some point.
And again, what's great about Matt Weitzman is the process is, it says in the script, tennis grunts. So I would probably go,
eh. And then I think one time I went, eh. And they laughed. I'm like, go for it, man. I don't know which one you're going to choose. But then it comes out a year later. And they just kept repeating it. Yeah. Eh.
Did they just have a recording of you doing that? Or do you have to do it new for each time you record it?
No, that's the other thing. It's like we grunt and, you know, Steve makes out with a lot of people on the show. And how many times I've been sitting at a microphone in front of a group of people who are like, you know, making money, 9 to 5. And I'm like, and I'm like, don't you have this in some library somewhere that you can just do it?
It's getting embarrassing.
It really is.
And I scream so much that.
That's the other thing is whenever we do table reads all the time. And you've had to do so many things. She sits next to me at every table read. So we do a table read. That's the group kind of thing. But she has to sometimes have sex with Stan. And it's the greatest free show, guys. Because there's Wendy going, oh, yeah. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I got my phone and just tape it. Yeah. It's such a goofy. Hey-o.
No. Hey-o.
That's not
No, and every time he does awesome, I will laugh at that forever. Like, I'm such an easy laugh. I'll laugh at the same thing.
They make me scream all the time now. And I'm not joking. I was doing, probably saying the word awesome or something. And I went, this is awesome. I felt this, like, in my belly. I'm like, fuck, man. Sorry, I shouldn't swear.
No, I feel like I'm having an aneurysm. Is that the where you have a brain, mm-hmm. A burst or something like that from screaming? Yes. Right. Oh, boo-hoo. Our job is so terrible.
What do you like about playing Francine the most?
I like the whole going to work process. I like the people. I like coming to work and laughing, and I like the recording process. I like doing her voice. I like being able to, you know, pitch it up, you know, sort of. It's a release. It's like singing. You know how singing makes you happy? Well, you know, it's kind of like that. You know? So.
But with the truth, you know, like I said, we do a read-through, so there's a performance quality that you get from American Dad because we've already performed it. And read-throughs are not easy. I get nervous still after almost 200 of them because you're reading something that someone else wrote and spent a lot of time on. And you don't want to screw it up. You don't want to mess up that joke because then it's going to be gone. Or the writer might be like, oh, that wasn't funny. And they all sit there with these pencils. And again, she sits to my left and there's always a writer to my right. And I still don't know when he checks a line that's being said, if that check means it was funny or it wasn't. So I'll be like, I haven't seen it, Mom. And he'll check. I'm like, God damn it, what does that mean? Does that mean I did it right? So there is this performance thing. And then when you go and record it 2 days later, you remember what was funny. And you try to, you know.
It is really important. It's a casual setting, but everybody is hearing that show for the first time. So the animators are finding out what they're going to be drawing, and the directors. By the way, the directors don't direct the actors in animation.
Yeah,
The executive producers. Everybody's title's different. The executive producers direct us in the booth, and the directors direct the animators. The drawing part of it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess that makes sense.
It's a fun process.
But, yeah, I mean, it is important. We have a great time doing table reads, but it's also really important because it's everybody's chance to hear the show and to hear what needs to be changed.
Right? What's one of your favorite episodes?
In the history of American Dad?
In the history of American Dad.
Hold on. Oh, God. Ask her first, because I do have one, but I don't want to just say anyone. There's one specific one that I just loved. Oh, the noir one, where father dies, and we take a road trip to go. And the reason I love that is because it went into this, we colored it different, and we made it look like a kind of, I guess, noir kind of film. And it just had a bunch of weird heart to it, you know, that some people don't like, some people don't get. You know, it's like the golden turd. You know what the golden turd is?
We just had the last one air.
I know, and it was the first time it surprised me. I'm watching it with my son, who hadn't seen the show in a little while. I'm watching the episode, it's brand new, and this
I could feel it. The car driving down the street, I'm looking at the time, I'm like, we've got plenty of time left on this. And I'm like, oh gosh. And you felt it get darker, and then it went over to this building. I'm like, we're doing a golden turn. Buddy, and he's like, what? I'm like, I can't, I don't know how to even explain it to you.
Yeah.
Like, well, what is this? I'm like, I can't tell you. I don't know. Golden turd, yeah. But that's what's so great about American Dad. So anything with a golden turd or road trip kind of stuff.
One of my favorite episodes that you're in is the air guitar one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love that. I can play that like over and over. I love that episode.
I gotta watch that again. I also did one where, like, I did a record many years ago. Scott Grimes did. And so the writers were either poking fun or, you know, I did, Steve sang my songs from the record. Which I think they were making fun, but because it was, I think he was in. So I like when they do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's those tiny little wink crossover kind of things. I like that.
Wait, so but you did them as Steve on the show, and then
Steve sang Scott Grimes' songs.
Oh, great.
But it wasn't supposed to be Scott. They didn't say Scott Grimes. Yeah. Nobody would know what the hell that meant. So.
Right.
But I think, you know, when you record it, I'm singing my songs as Steve, and then I think as the 8-month process of animating it, they rewrote some stuff where, like, Roger's, like, walking up going, that was shit, beep, you know. And I'm like, what? That wasn't in the original script.
You know what? You're so generous with me, too. I'm the only non-professional singer on the show because Rachel sings, of course, Seth sings, Scott. So, you know, Scott, you know, no, but you helped me,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, we did that recently.
Yeah, he pre-sang it for me so I could just hear it.
That
and,
is
you know.
One of my favorite things ever was the last thing. I think it aired already. Where Stan's in prison, and I sing a song about how much I love my mother. And the line that I love that I sing is, my time inside her was the best 9 months of my life.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
You must be so proud.
Yeah, so.
Let me ask you guys something that I asked all my interviewees. Do you two have anything to declare? And we are not going through customs. Ah, that's the reaction I like.
You mean like...
Whatever you want.
A tube of meat or something?
No.
In my suitcase?
A literally? Declaration, going through customs, however you want to interpret that statement.
Is it metaphoric?
Yeah, it's metaphoric.
Oh.
Is it like truth or dare?
It could be.
I have so much. But I'm not telling you
anything. What's an artist?
Oh my God, because I'll regret it. I would want to say something just to be funny right now, something truthful, but I will regret it. So that's my answer.
There you go.
Yeah, right. Oh no, I'm Mary Poppins. I have absolutely nothing to be.
Fly?
Yeah, exactly.
I have one rule. I never expect anything.
Yeah. That's good, actually.
Mary Poppins had a pretty big bag, though.
Yeah, right?
Nice. There you go. That's another one.
Yeah.
That's a great answer, too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Bottom of the Tune In Talk podcast, and I hoped you laughed your butt off listening to those interviews. During the editing process, I had to pause several times because I cracked up and couldn't control myself, which I'm sure is the entire goal of what many of these voice actors do. So, once more, I give a big thanks to the New York Comic Con for allowing me to attend that roundtable, but I also wanted to thank TBS for holding it and for the participants, Dee Bradley Baker, Rachel McFarlane, Matt Weitzman, Brian Boyle, Wendy Shaw, and Scott Grimes. American Dad is a really great, funny show, and I hope that you have much success over at TBS. Conan O'Brien seems to, so I hope you follow in a similar pattern. So, as I mentioned in the housekeeping segment at the top of the show, I had some really great guests to come on in future episodes, and a lot of them are going to be voice actors, some people who have an important tie to the animation industry in a historical sense, and a few of them who have made some prominent and really cool projects related to animation who you might not necessarily have heard of, but they're still pretty awesome. I won't say any more than that, but it's something to whet your appetite. However, to learn more about today's guest, I will be posting their relevant information, social media pages, websites, IMDb pages, all in the show notes, which can be located at www.tuneintalk.com, as well as www.fanboynation.com. If you are in need of any sort of news related to the geek industry, by gosh, you had to check out Fanboy Nation. And here...
Excelsior! Imperius Rex. Live long and prosper. Up, up, and away. Now that's my personal favorite. Fanboy Nation is go. Welcome to Fanboy Nation magazine, the home of all things fanboy and fangirl. Not just the same stuff you can get anywhere else. Only at Fanboy Nation will we go beyond the generic questions of, so what's your favorite pencil? What kind of strings do you use? And... how did it feel when you put on X costume? We give you insight into the lives of the artists, producers, the movers, the shakers, the indies, up-and-comers, the bigwigs, and most importantly, the little guys. If you haven't gotten yourself over to fanboynation.com, you need to do it today.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Scrivener. As many of you know, I am writing a book about Lotta Reiniger, the woman who created the first animated movie ever, called The Adventures of Prince Ahmed, all done in beautiful, fantastic silhouette animation. One of the problems with writing is doing a lot of research and actually getting your pen down on the paper or clicking that first key on the keyboard. And some people are so daunted by this task that they give up before they even try. Well, if you are an aspiring novelist, journalist, writer of any kind, there is a tool out there to help you get started and organized and to help you get that first draft done. That is Scrivener. Scrivener is a tool made by writers for writers to help you through the entire process. And trust me, the product does work. So I will post a link to that in the show notes. And also, if by any chance, when you are finished listening to the podcast, you want to try some other things to heighten your ears and expand your senses, then you might want to try listening to audiobooks. Audiobooks, I love. I read about 4 or 5 of them a month because I just don't have time to sit down anymore and read through a book myself, unless it's a graphic novel. But Audible helps me keep up to date on all the new books so I never miss anything that I want to read. If you are interested in supporting the show at minimal effort to you, do you know what you can do? And it would make me feel that warm spot in my heart from my listeners. You could subscribe to us on iTunes, also on Stitcher Radio, and which is a very minimal effort to you on your part again, is you could leave us a rating as well as a review. And anyone who leaves a rating or review on iTunes or Stitcher, I'll give you a shout on the show. So, without further ado, that brings us to another end of the Tune In Talk podcast, your rendezvous for animation interview. And now, if you'll excuse me, I will go join Roger and Klaus on establishing that fish stick factory. And from there, we will seek total domination of the seafood industry. Ah, I can see my retirement in sight. I'll catch you in episode 10, everyone.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I'll waltz down the lane to a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain. I'm dancing in the rain, la da da, da 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 dee. I'm happy again. I'm singing and dancing in the rain.
That is a famous musical, Singing in the Rain. Seth MacFarlane not put off by the comedy umbrellas of the Promenaders. Composer Nacio Herb Brown.
The audience loved that, didn't they? You could just tell that fairy tale tradition, that gorgeous playing.